Talk about our health. Those who set their New Year's resolutions around health and beauty are helping collagen supplements grow in popularity. This supplement has trended recently as people look for ways to improve their skin, nail, hair, and joint health. For example, if you press a baby's cheeks, it bounces back because of the collagen that's present. Conversely, larger pores and wrinkles appear as we lose collagen. The only collagen I recommend and use is this amazing magical supplement. It helps reduce visible signs of aging, reduces wrinkles, and promotes a youthful complexion to the skin. One scoop a day provides five critically important types of collagen your skin needs to perform and look its best. Plus, there's no artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives. Get it now for a whopping 53% off this New Year's. Plus, receive free VIP Life Health and Fitness Coaching for life, a free new ebook titled The 14 Foods for Amazing Skin, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and free shipping. Order before this order ends by going to healthwithx22.com. That is healthwithx22.com, or click the link in the description. Hi, and welcome to the X22 Report Spotlight. Today we have a returning guest, Patrick Kolbeck. Patrick is an aerospace engineer, author, former elected official, and a former candidate for governor in Michigan, served 2 4-year terms in Michigan's Senate. Patrick was on the front lines during the election, was a poll watcher. He's been researching the election since that time. You can find all his work at Let's Fix Stuff. That's letsfixstuff.org. And I am very happy and honored to have Patrick back on the X22 Report Spotlight. Patrick, welcome back to the spotlight.
Hey, Dave. It's great to be with you again.
Hey, thanks for being on. And I guess a couple weeks ago, back in December, they were talking about Wayne County, Michigan, and how Trump was trying to force them to, you know, I guess, switch the elections or find things. And it turned out that it was actually the opposite way, where it wasn't Trump. It was actually the Democrats that were pushing to actually change the elections. So you're in Michigan. What did you see? What did you find? And is that story true?
Let me give you a little bit of background on that for your listeners, because this all actually, believe it or not, stems back to when Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel charged what she refers to as the fake 16 electors in Michigan with felony charges across the board, including fraud and it's just ridiculous charges. So I got really upset about this. And back during the election 2022, I was actually present at the Wayne County Board of Canvassers meeting where Monica Palmer and Bill Hartman, who were the Republican Board of Canvassers member, voted not to certify the election in Wayne County, primarily on the basis of the fact that 71% of the 80 county boards in the city of Detroit did not balance, which means that the number of ballots issued did not equal the number of votes cast. And so granted, that was an improvement from the primary where it was 72%, but still, not good enough to go off and give voters the confidence that the election was conducted in a lawful manner. And so I left after they did that no vote, went back home, had another meeting that I had to attend to. And then after that meeting was over, I found out that the meeting was still going, and I'm going, well, that was the last item on the agenda. I don't understand what else there was left to discuss. And it turned out that there was a public comment period after I testified via Zoom, where Monica and Bill were subject to despicable accusations of racism. Monica's daughter was doxxed by who is now a current state rep in the Michigan House, Abraham Ayish, and they felt a lot of pressure, and they went off and tried to find a alternative solution to voting no on the certification. And after some deliberation with the Democrat members of the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, they came up with a compromise, and they said, "Tell you what, if you agree to have the Secretary of State conduct an audit of all of the unexplained precincts in the city of Detroit, you know, we'll give you a yes vote." And so they voted, they came back out, voted yes. And right after they voted yes, the Secretary of State came out and said, "Well, we're never going to do that." And so the next day, Monica and Bill reasserted their original no vote. Now, I go into this in detail with links to the actual minutes and some other evidence that people can look at letsfixstuff.org. But here's the crux of it. I'm a former state senator. I remember that whenever we cast a vote of record, the first vote that was cast is a vote of record unless you make a motion to reconsider that vote. That never happened. So what we have is the original vote of record is a no vote. Now, if you want to go down the paper chase to assume that there is a conditional yes vote that was offered, well, the conditions were not satisfied. So on that basis, it's nullified. And then, of course, they reassert their no vote. And here's where it comes in with President Trump, is that the newspaper, the Detroit News, went out and did a story that said that they had a recording of President Trump pressuring Monica and Bill not to certify the election and not to sign papers. We don't know what the exact recording says because they haven't released it. And the reporter who released it is known for selective reporting, let's say. And so we don't know what the exact words were, but the bottom line was when all was said and done, when you actually, I did a FOIA request for the actual official certification documents for Wayne County in the wake of the 2020 election. And when I got that FOIA request back for the official documentation, it was a certificate that was signed by the county clerk, Janice, Kathy Garrett, sorry, and two of the Democrat canvass members. The problem is it had no Republican signatures, and in accordance with Michigan Compiled Law 168.24E, it requires at least one Republican signature in order to be valid. So, in other words, the official certification documentation for Wayne County, Michigan, was not lawfully certified. And if you take all the votes off from Wayne County in Michigan, Joe Biden doesn't earn the 16 electors in Michigan for the 2020 election. Donald Trump does. And so this is a big deal. And so one of the reasons why the reporter put out the story that he did about that recording is that he was pressured into doing so because when I issued a statement on social media on Twitter highlighting that it was not lawfully certified and I provided all the evidence, the reporter came back and said, "Nope, they issued a conditional yes vote. Just sit down and shut up, Colbeck. We don't want to hear anything about this." And I kept pressing on him. I said, "Listen, show me certification paperwork, official certification paperwork that attests to your version of the story that says it was lawfully certified." And he never did. And in response, he put out this paper regarding the recording around Donald Trump. And I think they stepped in it by doing so. And the reason I think so is because the last thing that they want to be talking about is whether or not the 2020 election was lawfully certified. Now this is all the rage. We're all discussing whether or not the 2020 election was lawfully certified. And this is just one very tangible example of the fact that explicitly is not. Everybody can look it up for themselves. MCL 168.24E, it's pretty clear what the law says. It has to be supported. No action is executed unless it's supported by at least one Republican. And that just did not happen with the official certification document. So there we are as we go into the discussion of the 2024 election. We already are working with elected officials that benefited from a fraudulent 2020 election. And it's going to be an interesting 2024.
From when you first started and you started to look into the 2020 elections until now, have you noticed more and more people, I guess, coming out and saying, yes, I think there was something wrong with the election. Things don't make sense from, have you noticed a change in people?
Absolutely. It's obvious going into this 2024 election cycle that election integrity is one of, if not the top issue going into this election. And as you may know, I've worked a lot with Mike Lindell on making sure that we promote a plan to go off and address that. And it's really an information war, which is, why X22 report plays such a crucial role in this. It's getting information out to people that they otherwise would not hear. And when people are starting to hear that, they're understanding who has consistently told them the truth. and who has been feeding them lies. And the media has been caught in lies. They've been caught in censorship. The report that the U.S. House put out under Congressman Jim Jordan's leadership on the Election Integrity Partnership, highlighting how the federal government was actively engaged, trying to use proxies to censor American citizens in direct contradiction to our First Amendment rights, is very clear, and people are starting to see that pattern. So that, plus the fact that a lot of people don't start paying attention until their lives are impacted. Well, now they're starting to get impacted, and they're starting to try to find explanations for why they can't find the groceries they used to, or the prices are so skyrocketing so high. They're starting to look around for answers. And, I think you've shared it before, the Rasmussen report that highlighted that 62% of Americans now believe that the 2020 election was impacted by election fraud. How does that happen when the mainstream media is constantly feeding us a diatribe that the 2020 election was the most secure election in American history? It happens because we're going around them now through podcasts like yours and getting the word out to everybody through folks like Mike Lindell, who has been working hard on that front as well. Guys, the fact that our information is sticking and it answers some unexplained questions is pretty powerful, and it's resonating with a lot of people.
Do you think the election systems that we have today, do you think they're run by a criminal organization?
That's well, I mean, the fact that they're violating our constitutional rights, and it's the federal government that's doing that, already highlights the fact that it is a criminal organization. They are already guilty of violating the law. But it gets for me, the most concerning part of the election right now, and I think it resonates with a lot of people when I talk about it, is that our when we talk about criminal organizations and who's running this, it's very difficult to pin down who are the people that are running this, because more and more of our election processes are being outsourced to what are known as non-government organizations. It's not elected officials. When you go off and tabulate your results via machine, you're delegating the responsibility for tallying the votes to a third-party company like Dominion or ESNS or Hart Intercivic. Whenever I can't FOIA a non-government organization. I can't issue a FOIA request for that. I can't issue an open records request for that. It's very difficult for me to understand exactly how they are tabulating the votes. And if I don't have confidence in that process, I'm not going to have confidence in the elections. And I think that's where we sit going forward. And it's not just the vote tabulation that's being outsourced to NGOs. It's the fact that our qualified voter file or state voter registration systems are being increasingly outsourced to third parties. The security for our elections is being outsourced to third parties, up to organizations like the Center for Internet Security, because nothing says security for our elections that for voting machines that they tell us are not connected to the internet than to outsource the responsibility for the security of those elections to an organization called Center for Internet Security. Literally, this one NGO, which, by the way, has ties to the Election Integrity Partnership because they're the ones who put together the misinformation reporting portal. The Center for Internet Security, which is located out in Greenbush, New York, is responsible for deploying what they call Albert sensors out to, quote unquote, secure the voting systems across all 50 states. And so these little Albert sensors that they deploy to county and state level governments, sometimes local governments, to quote unquote prevent malware from coming in and impacting the security of systems that are not supposed to be connected to the internet anyway, is very telling because not only does this organization have access to sensitive election data, but I've issued FOIA requests for information around the agreements that they have with these local units of government. And what I'm determined, it's very explicit in the contract, is that they have the ability to examine the decrypted data that is being transferred through these entities. Now, I just want to clarify for your listeners, what do I mean by this? Well, the decrypted data that they're looking at are the vote returns on election day. They're looking at all the voter registration. They're looking at what's going on inside these poll books as far as who's registered, who's not, who hasn't issued a, who hasn't been issued a ballot, who has been issued a ballot. They are at the center of gravity of the information flow of our elections, and they have a finger in the elections in all 50 states, all across the country. And so all that data, by the way, doesn't just sit on those Albert sensors locally deployed. They have a data center that reviews all that data, and that's the data center. It's up in Greenbush, New York, and all the partners that work with them have access to that data. The Center for Internet Security itself, when you look at the management team, they're all former Intel community operatives. They're funded by organizations like the Democracy Fund, which is Pierre Omidyar's organization. I since 2020, I've been looking for that center of gravity that all this data rolls up to. And I'll tell you, the Center for Internet Security and all the affiliated organizations with that is as close as I've been able to come to kind of an evil lair, if you will, for manipulating our elections. If nothing else, they are the primary enabler, I believe, for the election theft, because all that information flows up to them centrally. How do you coordinate the shutdown of the election results across all the main major battleground states all at the same time? How do you do that locally? Somebody's got to be looking at that information in a centralized manner. And this is one of those organizations that had access to that data. So I think it's time to issue a little bit of subpoena authority and investigate exactly who these people are at the Center for Internet Security, because they seem to be coming from the same community of folks that were responsible for the that little paper that impacted the 2020 election that said that Hunter Biden's laptop was likely Russian disinformation.
So the Center for Internet Security, you just said they're looking at the data. I mean, do you think they have a mechanism in place where they're watching all the votes from all over the place to see, how many votes, candidate one has compared to candidate two, and that's how they know when to shut it down? I mean, because
You know, if
like,
I, yeah, if I could serve as a poll challenger inside their data center, I'd have a better idea whether or not that's happening or not. But because they're an NGO, they operate like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, and they don't want anybody peeking behind that curtain.
Now, before you said the election systems are connected to the internet, and I remember interviewing you, oh, probably going back to 2020 or 2021, where you actually found proof that, talk about our health, those who set their New Year's resolutions around health and beauty are helping collagen supplements grow in popularity. This supplement has trended recently as people look for ways to improve their skin, nail, hair, and joint health. For example, if you press a baby's cheeks, it bounces back because of the collagen that's present. Conversely, larger pores and wrinkles appear as we lose collagen. The only collagen I recommend and use is this amazing magical supplement. It helps reduce visible signs of aging, reduces wrinkles, and promotes a youthful complexion to the skin. One scoop a day provides five critically important types of collagen your skin needs to perform and look its best. Plus, there's no artificial flavors, colors, or preservatives. Get it now for a whopping 53% off this New Year's. Plus, receive free VIP Life Health and Fitness Coaching for life, a free new ebook titled The 14 Foods for Amazing Skin, a 60-day satisfaction guarantee, and free shipping. Order before this order ends by going to healthwithx22.com. That is healthwithx22.com, or click the link in the description. The election systems were connected to the internet.
Yeah.
Do you think the systems are always connected to the internet?
they don't have to be. They don't even have to be connected to the
No, I'm
internet.
saying
What I found,
during the election,
yeah.
when the elections are actually
Yeah.
happening, do you think they're
Yeah, I know they're. Yeah, I know they are. I mean, I witnessed it firsthand in Wayne County. During tabulation of the votes, the machines were indeed connected to the internet. You go off and review Dominion patents for their adjudication workstations. They are designed to tabulate votes, and they do so through network connectivity. If you go through the network, go through the actual contract between Dominion and the state of Michigan for the deployment of their systems, every single configuration that they talk about for the tabulation of the systems through their election management system server features an internet connection. Furthermore, when I was in 2020, well, in 2020, I was on the ground at the AV County Board in Detroit. So I witnessed the pizza boxes on the windows. I witnessed the 3:30 a.m. drops of ballots. And I witnessed the fact that these machines are connected to the internet. So, but I couldn't record anything because they disallowed me to get out my phone and actually, record video of everything that I was witnessing. It took the Gateway Pundit to come out and put and do a FOIA request for the surveillance video at the back door. for people to start believing us that there was an unauthorized or unsanctioned or without any chain of custody drop of ballots at the back, right? That's the game that's played. So in 2022, I decided to do something a little bit different. And to the best of my knowledge, I'm the first time this has ever been attempted. But as a certified poll challenger, I decided that I was going to witness the tallying of the votes at the county level, not at the local AV counting boards, not at the local in-person voting polling locations. I was going to go at the county level and see how they rolled up that data. Now, Dave, here's the official narrative on how that's done. The official narrative is at the end of when you close out a precinct at an in-person voting location or at an AV counting board, you take a little flash drive and you download the result onto that flash drive. You take that flash drive, put it in a sealed envelope. That sealed envelope is carried by courier up to the county, and then it's released. It's taken out of the envelope once it reaches the county and then taken into the server room, uploaded into the election management system server, which then uploads the result up to the county website so that everybody can see the preliminary results for the election. That's the official narrative. That is not what happens. I issued another FOIA request in the wake of the 2022 primary where I was serving as that poll challenger. I attempted to get access to the county clerk's office. I was denied access. They had five law enforcement officers assigned to make sure that I did not go anywhere near the county election management server. So I sat out in the hall from 3:30 p.m. on election day to after 11 o'clock on election day, monitoring what was going on in that office. So I wanted to see if they did not. Here's what I was trying to test. I was trying to test if their official process for how the election results got uploaded or updated actually happened. It's a nice story, but is it true? And it turns out it wasn't true. And I issued a FOIA request for a surveillance video outside that office to prove my point and prove what I observed. And you can see that out on my Rumble channel. Out at Election Integrity is the name of Rumble channel. It's not exactly Star Wars entertaining with special effects and everything because it's literally 12 hours of surveillance video. But what the surveillance video will tell you with the timestamps that are there is that here's what actually happened on election night. What would happen is that the couriers would come in with the sealed envelopes. They would meet a magistrate sitting outside the clerk's office, just outside the elevator bay. And they'd bring in their sealed envelopes, check them in, and then that magistrate, that clerk, and the clerk representative would take that sealed envelope and put it in a mail bin right behind them. Mm-hmm. It never went into the clerk's office. Meanwhile, I am sitting outside the door of the clerk's office, and I'm hearing them inside saying, "Hey, Van Buren Township just uploaded their results." So, of course, I'm keeping track of which communities have checked in and submitted their sealed envelopes with the flash drives and the election results that aren't going into the clerk's office. At the same time, I'm on my phone and I'm taking screenshots of what the Wayne County election results website says. And what I'm noting is that the Wayne County election results website is posting results for communities that had not brought in their flash drives. How does that happen? Did a little carrier pigeon fly in the window and I missed it and I had the little flash drive and dropped it off with them and I didn't see it? No, they were connected to the internet. There's no other way that they accomplished this. So it proves to me that it was a bald-faced lie, and they do upload the results from the local communities to the county election management system server via the internet. And I've got video proof to back that up now. And a couple other things that the video surveillance video showed was really, I didn't appreciate how creepy it was with the surveillance that they were putting on me just for trying to monitor the integrity of the elections. And you saw a representative of the attorney general's office that were just looking for me to look at somebody cross-eyed so that they could charge me with something, which thankfully did not happen. But also something very interesting is that as soon as I left, all the masks for all the employees started disappearing. And because this is under COVID craze, right? Mm-hmm. And so it just highlights a hypocrisy. They're trying to use COVID as an excuse to, if I refused to wear a mask, they would have kicked me out. And so that I could not oversee the elections. And it just shows that this is just a game. They're not serious about this. And it's It's all about control. The Election Integrity Partnership is all about control. The outsourcing of the election management to outside organizations, non-government organizations, is all about control. And, you know, the way you fight back on that is with transparency, with information. That's why I've been working with Mike Lindell on that. If you go to LindellOffenseFund.org, you'll see the plan put together. It's all about getting out information because these guys have been getting away with a lack of transparency for quite a while, and it's about time we held them accountable.
Now, going back a little bit, when we were talking about the Center for Internet Security, you also mentioned about how they detect malware. Now it makes it makes sense now that they need that, or maybe they're the ones who are actually, you know, introducing the malware into the system.
They're like the Trojan horse.
Yeah. So I mean, this whole operation, it's not just one person. This is a coordinated, and like we said from the very beginning, a coordinated criminal organization doing this, because there's no way that you have Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Michigan, all these states doing pretty much almost the same exact thing. So this must have been planned for quite a while then, because they all knew what to do.
If they were to use their powers for good, there's a lot of issues that really could use some solving right now. But it's definitely amazing how organized this actually was. And this is something that just didn't happen in 2020. I mean, they've been incrementally building these capabilities through a large network of these NGOs for quite some time.
So, I mean, they used COVID back in 2020. They had the mail-in ballots, the drop boxes. This time, we really don't have that scenario this time. Back then, people were afraid to go outside. People were scared. People, you know, all right, I'll go to a Dropbox, but that's it. This time around, we really don't have that. I mean, especially a lot of the red states, you know, people aren't buying that anymore. So, I know they're bringing in a lot of illegals right now, millions of people. When you look at this, one, do you think they're going to cheat? I think I already know your answer. Number two, how do you think they're going to be able to pull this off this time?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that's happened in the wake of them stealing the 2020 election in Michigan is that now it's the criminals that are in charge of making the laws. And so a lot of the unlawful activities that occurred during the 2020 election are now enshrined in the Michigan Constitution. So they've got the ballot drop boxes, the third-party funding, the no-reason absentee voting, the quite a bit of what they were using as a mechanism to cheat in 2020 is now actually enshrined in the Michigan Constitution, and by corollary, they put it into statute as well. As a matter of fact, in Michigan, they've effectively outlawed poll challengers because they passed laws that essentially, if you look at a poll worker cross-eyed and they think that you're intimidating them, which would never happen because poll challenger, you know, it's in the name. It's all about being super sweet and nice and telling them that they're doing everything correct. No, a poll challenger is to challenge the execution of process that's done in an unlawful manner. And of course, it's going to be intimidating to them. And they've set it up so that is ultimately a felony when they do that. So they've effectively outlawed poll challengers in Michigan. So I think they've kind of greased the skids to try to steal the 2024 election. But the solution against all that is transparency. The antiseptic effects of highlighting exactly what they're doing is extremely powerful. And so that's what I'm focused on. You know, my background's an engineer, right? Mm-hmm. So at the beginning of all this, I focused in on the X's and O's. I would highlight the fact that, you know, there are 271,566 ballots cast in the 2020 election that don't have a voter assigned to them this day. And that's supposed to be maintained for 5 years. So that's a little bit larger than the 154,188 vote margin allocated to Joe Biden in Michigan. So that's kind of where my mind was at with an engineer. I would look at that. I'd look at canvassing data that would suggest that in an election decided by 2.78%, we were seeing anomalies on the order of anywhere between 4 and 44% in the post-election canvassing of their voting histories. So that's where my mindset was set. And now I'm focused in on the fact that it's an information war. That Hunter Biden laptop in particular was a big wake-up call. and that Election Integrity Partnership organization that's involved in the censorship of Americans trying to talk about this is at the heart of it. And yeah, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a poll shortly after the election that if people who voted for Biden would have known that the Hunter Biden laptop was not Russian disinformation, was actually real information, that something like over 9% or around 9% of those voters would not have voted for Biden. Well, when we were talking about vote margins of 2.78% or less in some of these battleground states, that was a deciding factor all by itself, whether or not the machines manipulated the votes or not, whether or not there were bad voter rolls or not. Just the misinformation put out around that laptop was enough to sway the election results. And for me, that was a powerful signal to say, guys, we got to focus more on the information more and making sure that we get the truth out to people as fast as possible.
So you're saying you should be transparent before the elections happen, showing or letting the people know how they're going to do it. So this way it kind of maybe blocks them from actually doing it.
Yeah. And even more so than that, push for transparency in the conduct of the elections. That's why I'm a big advocate for hand counting and paper ballots. I can't peek into these machines and actually follow all the electrons going around flipping votes. But I can see when somebody holds up a ballot and it says Trump on it and Trump is added to the tally. I can see it when that happens. I can't see it when it happens inside a computer.
I agree with that. So, I mean, if they're changing the laws in a lot of the blue states and they're taking what they did and they're making it law, how can we, even if we are transparent, even if we're telling people, you know, okay, this is what you can expect, how can we have a fair election if we're using their system? Because I call it their system. I don't call it the people system, because if you look at it, they set up the dominions, they set up the ballots, they set up everything that they needed to cheat in the election. And it seems that they have people, just like we saw in 2020 and actually in 2022, where they had people that actually protected what was going on. So my question to you is, if they control all this and it's their system that they develop, because we didn't develop the mail-in ballots, we didn't want mail-in ballots, we didn't want drop boxes, we don't want to use these machines, it's their system. So how do we get around this? How can we have, can we have a fair election come 2024?
Well, what I think should give people some hope is that we have finally started becoming successful in the courts. And I know there's a big narrative out there that says, oh, you know, there's been 60 court cases proving you wrong and none of them showed any evidence. Well, obviously, they're very selective in what they're looking at. In Michigan alone, we've won six separate court cases against the Michigan Secretary of State, in which it is determined by a court of law, six unique courts of law, that she has issued directives that are not in accordance with the law. That's six times. And the issue that we've been having is the speed of getting to those resolutions. I mean, one of those court cases, for example, they decided that she was violating the law around signature. She relaxed the signature verification requirements. And the decision came in March of 2021, which is after the January 20th inauguration, right? So whoop-de-doo, thank you for joining us, but that was a little bit late. So the challenge for all of us is the speed at which we collect the information. And that's, once again, one of the things I've been working on with Mike Lindell, is the idea of a real-time monitoring system. In the wake of the 2020 election, I, like a lot of others that were speaking out about the fraud that we witnessed, were just flooded with data. I mean, I was like drinking out of not just one fire hose, but lots of fire hoses. Because once you speak up and people say, hey, this guy's serious about investigating this, you get flooded with evidence. And it was very difficult to triage it and find out what's important. And frankly, as much as I did to go off and study the elections, and I served as vice chair of election and government reform in the Michigan Senate, so I've diagrammed out all these processes, it's overwhelming when you're trying to map that into a cohesive legal strategy, because that is not my forte. I'm not a lawyer. And it took us a while to build those networks of people that knew how to address the fraud that we actually found. And now I think we've got that. And I'm confident going into this that not only will we be able to collect the information, collect it faster than we had before, but now we're connected to people that actually can make a difference. And you'll notice they're making a concerted effort to make examples of lawyers that are addressing election fraud issues, right? You got John Eastman. I've submitted evidence in support of him in his trial. You got Sidney Powell. You got Jenna Ellis. You got Rudy Giuliani. They're targeting these guys because they want to make an example of them. Anybody who pops up, they want to hammer them in like they're playing a game of whack-a-mole. Well, I'm telling you, there are in the wake of that, I'm privy to a whole network of very, very experienced lawyers and former judges that have said, enough is enough. We're fighting back and we're willing to help. And so I'm encouraged on that front.
That's good to hear. Do you think, because of Biden's poll numbers are so low and people are looking at the situation, okay, the economy's breaking down, things are happening. Do you think that they will try to cancel the elections? I mean, a lot of people are out there saying that, if they can't cheat and they can't win and they don't have the candidate, they're just going to cancel the elections. We won't have an election this year. What do you think?
I think they're going to try to create as much chaos as possible. I mean, I think that's been the MO with the new election processes that they put in place, like early voting. You take the chaos of a single day of voting, now you spread it out across 10 days of voting, and there's no chain of custody. They have these regional voting centers, so instead of your local polling locations, now you can have them all over the place, which means these voting centers have to have every single ballot type in that county available for voting. It's designed to be chaotic. It's designed to mitigate lack of an audit trail, which for me indicates that that's going to be more of the same in this upcoming election, where they are going to try to promote chaos. And so things like a cyber attack in particular, for these machines that are quote unquote not connected to the internet, I think is very much in the offering. And is something that is going to be of that we need to safeguard against, and that's also one of the reasons that through Mike Lindell and others, we are working on deploying and advocating for hand counts and showing people how to do it. It's actually cheaper. It actually takes less time. We just had that election out in Argentina. That was conducted. They had the results done right after the election. It was all hand count.
It's amazing.
It's not rocket science. It's amazing. Before Common Core math came around, we used to be able to count. And tally votes all by ourselves. It was actually pretty easy. So now it's a matter of just highlighting, guys, this is indeed possible. It's just time to get back to basics. One day voting, no, none of this, rolling election stuff, which essentially just gives them advanced intel on how many ballots they need to stuff to avoid the vote spikes in the middle of the night. That's all they're doing with the early voting. So I think the solution to chaos is to bring order back into the system. And the more people that wake up, the more questions that they start asking, and the more difficult it's going to be for them to hide in the midst of the chaos.
And since you mentioned cyber attack, I mean, if they do try something like that, you will be vindicated where they will actually prove you right, because I think at that point they won't care.
Yeah, there's a degree of. Well, actually, they're at that point a little bit already right now, because in order to implement these early voting systems, the Michigan Bureau of Elections actually put out a bulletin to all their election officials highlighting that if you're having trouble getting internet connectivity for your voting systems, here's a hand, go to Connected Nation website and they'll tell you everything you need to know.
Wow, that's
So they're not even hiding it
there.
anymore.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, thank you very much for being on the X22 Report Spotlight. Once again, if people wanted to see your work, where should they go?
Well, go to letsfixstuff.org. And I also encourage folks to go to lindellplan.com. There's a lot of good information about some of the stuff that I'm working on right now nationally to help make this 2024 election as secure as possible.
Great. I'll put all the links at the bottom of the video. Patrick, once again, thank you very much for being on the Spotlight. I really appreciate it.
Hey, great to be with you, Dave. Not gonna lie.
Thank you.